said he thought that maybe you made a mistake. I don't think that you did make a mistake. I got something out of what you said, brother, and that was good. And I hope that when I'm done that people won't feel like you made a mistake as well. There is one thing I want you to be careful of. Don't let him near the kitchen. Chocolate cake and beans, that doesn't sound like something that we need on the menu.
You can see from my stomach, I've been there a lot of times.
I would like to call your attention to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. And when I read in the Old Testament, a lot of times I identify with the person I'm reading about, as probably you do too. I read Jeremiah, I identify with him just like I do with Joshua or with Moses or any of the other characters. And I put myself in their position and think about what I would do in those circumstances. And also when I look into the Old Testament, I try to make some kind of an application to my life today and an application for you as well. So as we look at chapter 12 here, just six verses in chapter 12 of Jeremiah, I want to look at what's going on with Jeremiah and perhaps make an application that you and I can identify with. It's almost like eavesdropping on a conversation. Now, that's not polite, but God saw fit to put this conversation in the Holy Bible, and so we can eavesdrop. But Jeremiah is talking to God. And I want you to notice what he says. He says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee." So he's recognizing who the Lord is, that he is the self-existent Jehovah, the creator of the universe, all righteous. So he addresses him properly, and he says that he's righteous, and that he says, "I'm going to plead with thee." But then he says, "Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." Have you ever done that? Talk to God about something that you thought that you could acquaint him with, some things that he didn't understand. Jeremiah tried it, and I've tried it, and you probably have tried it. We don't do it that often because we stop and think that we cannot acquaint God with anything. But nevertheless, Jeremiah says, "Lord, I want to talk with you about your judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" God, do you not understand that these people are terribly wicked and you are not righteous in your judgment of them, as I think you should be? What a thing to say.
Yeah.
Well, what's Jeremiah talking about? Well, we're just in chapter 12, and I'm going to stay in the book of Jeremiah, but if you go back to chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands." So beginning with chapter 1 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah points out the things that the wicked are doing, and basically what it involves is worshiping other gods and being involved in idolatry. Well, where did the children of Israel come up with the idolatry? Well, they were living in a land that was filled with idolatry.
Yeah.
And as an application to us today, we're filled in a land of people that are doing evil and wicked, and we get close to those people and that stuff rubs off on us. Now, we probably wouldn't go so far as to make an idol and put it in our home, but there's lots of things that the world is involved in and we allow to rub off on us, and we end up getting dirty along with the world. In the next chapter, verse 28, chapter 2, it says, "But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah." Say, which idol were they worshiping? Well, how many cities were there? They had one in every city, but it's going to get worse than that. Chapter 3, in verse 3, "Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. And thou hadst a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed." He's talking about God's people. You think about the people in the country where we live, and this refusing to be ashamed. I am amazed at the things that I see on television where people are not ashamed of their wickedness.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
And I'm going to let out a little secret. We watch Jeopardy instead of the news, because you know why? I can learn more from Jeopardy than I can from the news. Then we watch Wheel of Fortune while we're eating supper. Now, it's not a ritual, but talking about not being ashamed. The host says, "And who's out in the audience with you?" And this big burly man says, "My husband is out there, and our adopted daughter." It was no shame at all on their faces. This is the kind of thing that's going on in our country today, but it's not something new. It was going on back here. In chapter 4, in verse 22, "For my people," now notice he's talking about not the world, "my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Chapter 6, verse 16. "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein."
Sure do.
You ever talk to somebody who is a professing Christian, and you talk to them about the old paths and the way it used to be 100 years ago? "Well, I'm not going back to that. I don't want that for my life." This is what was going on in Jeremiah's day. It's going on in our lives today. We can see it all around us. In chapter 11, we skip a few chapters. Verse 13, "For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah." He already said that once. Now then look. "And according to the number of thy streets," the streets of Jerusalem, "have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal." That shameful thing is mentioned in Daniel 3, when the three Hebrew children refused to bow down to that statue. That statue was not a picture or a statue of a king. It was an obelisk.
Yep.
That was wicked and shameful. Ezekiel 8 talks about the same shameful thing that the children of Israel were worshiping. And where did they get it? From the world that they were living in. That's what the world was worshiping. And then in chapter 7 of Jeremiah, he brings out something that they were worshiping called the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven is described in full detail in chapter 44. He mentions it just in passing, as he did the idols in the streets and in the cities. But in chapter 44, there's a full description of this. And not only does it tell that they worship the Queen of Heaven, but it gives their reasoning for doing so. verse 15, it says, all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. That's what the people of Israel, a type of the church, said to the preacher. We will not hearken unto thee. But, verse 17, we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. In other words, this is their reasoning. When we worshiped the Queen of Heaven, we had food, clothing, had a good job, the money was coming in, everything was going fine. But, verse 18,